Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside.
Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
You're tuned in to the Gangsta Chronicles with James McDonald, Reggie Wright Jr., and Alex Alonzo on the Digital Soapbox Network.
I have a material witness on an aggravated battery with a handgun, and they believe this might be in retaliation to her testimony.
Welcome to another episode of the Gangsta Chronicles. My name is Alex Alonso from StreetGangs.com, a.k.a. Street TV, where I interview OG gang members, former and current, hip-hop artists, authors, entertainers, and other influencers. And I'm here with my two co-hosts.
Reggie Wright Jr.
and James McDonald.
And make sure you check out Reggie Wright Jr. on Bomb First. That's B-O-M-B-1-S-T, where he does a live show, actually. And that's weekly, right, Reg?
Yeah, every Tuesday.
Every Tuesday, you can check them out.
7:30 Pacific Standard Time.
And then also, make sure you're getting those Death Row shirts, James. That's going to be on the Patreon, right?
Of Bomb First, yes.
Yeah, and you can get that Patreon link where, Reg?
Pinned up on the comment section, I guess. I don't know.
Or you could just go to any of my platforms, and I'll have a link to the Patreon page for Bomb First. You can check that out. My links are Street Television, Street TV. On all platforms, there'll be a link there to get that Death Row t-shirt, and I recommend everybody to get that. Yep. All right, so welcome to another episode of the Gangsta Chronicles, and I know a lot of people are listening on iTunes, so if you're listening on iTunes, please leave us a rating and a review so we can continue bringing you this amazing show. You can rate us from 1 to 5, 5 being the best. And you could also suggest topics and ideas of things you want to hear. And for those who don't have iTunes, we're also on Google Play, Spotify. And for those who are on the computer, laptop, or desktop, we're on radio.com as well. All right, so let's take a few questions from some of our listeners, because without the listeners, we wouldn't even be here. And one of the first questions that comes up, Reg, I know you know about this. How did the Lil Half Dead being the Tupac shooter theory even begin? This was also addressed in one of the A&E documentaries where they interviewed Lil Half Dead, and he basically was like, I had nothing to do with this. Yeah. But I heard that rumor throughout the year, so tell us how that rumor got started.
Yeah, what happened was, it was this crazy psycho dude from that's in jail. For molestations, and has a history of psychosis or whatever, that's in prison. And they wrote a letter, had his niece write a letter to this reporter from the Fox News who was hot in L.A. by the name of Chris Blatchford at the time.
My main man, Chris.
And so Chris got this letter. He received a letter, I don't know, 2099 or something like that, and was trying to follow up on it, and it came up to a dead end situation. Made some requests to them. They said they had the murder weapon and all of that, and it never materialized. He filed it away in his files. You have the old white men, and this obsessed police detective that up and quit his job 6 months before he was eligible for retirement because he felt that the LAPD wasn't, the, you know, Chief Bernard Parks told him, hey, stop it. Stop wasting our resources and our money going down this lane. This is not accurate information. And he lost it. Name was Russell Poole, eventually died, heart attack. But he died. I mean, he take a lead and went and Chris Blatchford and met with Chris Rassler. And Chris Blatchford gave it to him. He said, hey, here's a lead that I got some time ago. I checked it out. But things didn't fall where it was supposed to fall.
He gave a letter to Russell Poole?
Yeah. Chris Blatchford did.
Okay.
And Russell Poole kind of believed the theory.
He believes it. But Russell Poole believed anything but the truth. And that's why he, you know, for a man to quit their job, lose their retirement benefits, their retirement check and everything for the rest of their life, 6 months prior to being eligible to receive all of that, you got to show the state of mind that he was in.
So basically obsessed with a case?
He was obsessed with a case and proving that his theory. It's my way or no way. Typical stubborn old man. So this is Russell Poole. He get to, with this guy that does documentaries. He done did about 4 different documentaries accusing me and Suge Knight of murder of Tupac and Biggie. And now they got this new theory, and they want to change up on it because it's all about making some money. And so this is their new theory, and they went full blast with it.
What's the new theory?
The letter that accuses Little Half Dead being involved with myself and Suge Knight, ex-wife, Sharitha Knight, for taking over the company for our benefit. And Little Half there had been involved because he was mad because Tupac stole the song Brenda Got a Baby.
Which is impossible to have happened.
The kid was 14 years old. Yeah, he was 14
exactly.
years old at the time.
The timeline that makes no sense.
I mean, we done had people that showed that was in the studio with Tupac when he wrote Brenda Got a Baby and all of that. That said, this is crazy. Little Half there was like, this is crazy. And so this is how that theory got out there.
Reg, let me ask you something. How do you feel that with these people making all these allegations against you and constantly keep using your name and, well, let's say putting your name in this situation?
You know, like on our last episode last week, I kind of got a little test because, and I listened back to it and I apologize to you because maybe I got a little sensitive. I don't like using the word sensitive.
On me?
I said, I got a little sensitive.
Okay, what about?
You forgot already. Yeah. It's only been a week and you forgot.
Man.
But anyway, like I said, I don't care about when people accuse me of being involved in the murder of Biggie Small, even though it's not true. It doesn't bother me. But Tupac Shakur was somebody that I was with there and there every day of the 11 months that he was, you know, with Death Row. Somebody that I was in charge of his security, and he, you know, became our friend. We were somebody we were hanging out with, traveling, strip parties, all type of things with. He became a friend.
Okay.
And so to be accused of being involved in the murder of him, it hurts. It bothers me to the core. And so, especially by people that had nothing to do with his life, didn't even know who a Tupac Shakur was in 1996, that said, oh, in 2000s, this is a way I can benefit and make some money. Let me slander this man's name. Let me put this out. And let's see what these dumb people think and believe.
Did you ever consider any lawsuits against people who actually accuse you of or linking you to the murder of Tupac when the evidence is actually in your favor that you had nothing to do with it?
Yeah, but unfortunately, all the motherfuckers are broke that's accusing you of this.
That's true.
They're called judgment proof.
But are they linked to any companies or businesses when they made these allegations?
You know,
I'm
sure you can go out there, but they probably indemnified.
Like, for example, Chris Blatchford.
Nobody big. None of these big people did it. Cliff Blatchford never accused. I wish Fox News would have.
Yeah, I was going to say, Chris Blatchford was working for Fox News.
He just said, hey, here's a letter I got. Go investigate.
I'm about Chris is a good cat.
Yeah, he's cool. I've been knowing Chris Blatchford for over 20 years.
Yeah, and then I brought
I met him in 85.
Wow.
Chris has reached out to me several times. I brought Shug down a couple of times to do interviews with Chris Blatchford and stuff. So
yeah, he was a true investigative journalist, and they don't really have them anymore. Yeah. It all went
not like him.
Well,
they weren't given the budget too.
Yeah,
how many people got that budget that he has?
Now the budgets are going more towards like the rumor news, as opposed to the investigative journalism that Chris Blatchford used to do.
I mean, I just think that's a crazy. I mean, to go to sleep with all these people thinking.
Yeah. Like I said, it didn't bother me at first. It didn't start bothering me until I had I have an 18-year-old son, and his name is Reginald Wright III. And when he started getting linked and he's starting to read and understand and listening to some of the stuff out here, and you were like, you had kept them insulated from all of that all their lives, and now they're a little older and their friends and stuff like that starting to hear about it.
Questions.
Exactly.
So if Russell Poole really believed in this little half-dead Reggie Wright Sharitha theory, what was his view on Orlando Anderson then?
They believe it's all a fake, it's all a stunt, that they were potsies. Their whole theory is it was originally Shug. He since went and tried to apologize with Shug. Before he died, matter of fact, while he was in the sheriff department when he died, trying to broker a deal for Shug to get out of custody, and said, "Hey, Shug's willing to say this and say that if y'all are willing to let him go," which most people think it was the cooperation on the murder of Tupac, which it really was the cooperation on identifying the person who shot him inside the One Oaks Club is what most people don't know. But, so Russell Poole changed his theory as well.
All right, let's go get on to the next question, which is semi-related. Kevin Gaines, LAPD officer Kevin Gaines, who was later killed by Frank Liga. Solo Dolo from Instagram wants to know, was LAPD officer Kevin Gaines at the MGM Hotel the same night where all of this happened when Pac got killed later that night?
Only thing I can ever attest to is by his girlfriend at the time, which was Suge's ex-wife, or estranged wife at the time, Sharitha. She said he was with her. Why would he be at the MGM with us? We're not white folks. White folks only do that bullshit, where they fraternize and be cool with somebody who's fucking on their ex-wife. We don't get down like that.
So then, you're saying it makes no sense for Sharitha, Suge's ex, to be in Vegas with Kevin Gaines.
Well, that, or I'm saying we will allow the lady that's having an affair, I mean the guy that's having an affair with Suge's wife, to be hanging out with us.
Yeah. But if you're estranged, it doesn't even matter, does it?
Okay.
I'm asking.
I guess you have some white in you.
What?
We don't
that was racist,
like that.
Reg.
I mean,
that was racist.
Well, I guess I'm racist.
I'm asking a legitimate question. If you are strange, that means I don't really care about you as a wife, and I don't care about you as
but
a husband.
But do I want to hang out with you, taking you to a prize fight?
This question wasn't about hanging out. It just says, was Kevin Gaines there?
At the MGM.
At the MGM.
Because they are saying that they are there with us. That's the only reason they would care that where's he at? Because they want to know if he was with us. At
no,
the time.
Basically, it's yes or no. I mean,
I just told you.
We know he went with Death Row.
Well, then, if he was there on some other mission, how in the hell would I know if he wasn't with us?
Well, you went at the MGM.
I wasn't there, but I was out there. I knew who was all the players who was there. But I was at Club 662 getting that prepared. But the reason for the question is not where he's at, what was he doing. I want to know if he was having a cup of coffee at Starbucks. No, the question is because I want to know if he was out there with y'all. Does he have anything to do with, because that goes back to what I said earlier, how they want to have the cops involved in the murder of Tupac and Biggie.
Well, I think it's a fair question, considering when Kevin Gaines was killed by Frank Liga, he was sitting in a car registered to either Suge Knight or Death Row Records.
He was sitting in a car that was registered to Death Row Records because he was fucking Suge Knight's wife.
Yes.
That's why.
Everyone knew that, right?
We didn't.
You guys didn't know that?
We didn't know that.
But they were already estranged.
They were estranged.
Yeah, they weren't together. And I'm sure Suge already had moved on in his relationship.
Well, he had babies and stuff all there, but he still was cool with his estranged wife as well.
That's a contradiction. If you're cool, then you're not estranged.
Well, they had business. Well, okay, well, they weren't estranged then. They weren't living together or sleeping together, but they had business. She was managing most of his artists.
I don't know what to say, man.
Yeah, I don't want to touch that.
Yeah, I mean, I have a bunch of questions.
They had a relationship where he didn't pretty much care what she was doing, and obviously she didn't care what she was doing, but they wasn't divorced, and they had business. She was managing Snoop Dogg, who was the biggest artist on his label.
Okay, the bottom line is, don't nobody know if Kevin Gaines was there.
Well, I mean, we know what I said earlier. By Sarita's testimony, they were at home in North Hollywood at their house.
Yeah, so he wasn't there.
Yeah. I'm just trying to tell you why the man asked the question. If I would have said no, you ain't not giving him a justification. Justifying. I could have easily said no, he wasn't there.
Well, I think the Kevin Gaines story is fascinating. And I think there's a lot of things we don't know about Kevin Gaines. What do you mean?
He was having an affair with the man's ex-wife.
Yeah, but he was also linked to other LAPD officers that got caught up in the Rampart scandal.
Okay. Well, that had nothing to do with us, but it comes back to us because of that relationship.
Look, I'm just saying there's a handful of black officers that went through the Rampart division, or they were friends with
officers.
So because
he knew the Rampart officers, now he's dirty?
No, I don't think Kevin Gaines was actually a dirty cop.
I never heard his name mentioned in there, but you just made the correlation.
Because I'm making the correlation because he knew them. Just because you know David Mack or you know Rafael Perez doesn't mean you're dirty.
And I don't even know if evidence that he knew them.
How was he killed?
He was killed at the intersection in the valley by another LAPD officer, Frank Liga.
And that happens. Road rage. I tried to tell you earlier, it's 10,000 police officers. Every cop don't know each other. I know the outside world think they all know each other. I'm telling you, I don't know 1,000 people in my life. I don't know I wouldn't know all 10,000 cops if I was a cop in LAPD. I wasn't. I knew all the 200 that worked with me at Compton PD. But I'm telling you, LAPD, all of them don't know all 10,000 officers.
So what
the only officer they all probably know is the brass, the chief, and all of that.
Yeah.
They all know him, but they don't know each other in the other divisions and stuff.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
Every week, we'll pick a new song from the list and talk about their placement on the revamped 2021 list.
We'll also have guests join us, ranging from the artists themselves to the producers, or simply other writers like ourselves who voted on them.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern-day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside and Britney Spears' Baby One More Time.
There's so many fascinating stories that have been forgotten, like Midnight Train to Georgia starting with a phone call to Farrah Fawcett, or how the Yeah Yeah Yeahs inspired Kelly Clarkson's banger Since You've Been Gone and Beyoncé's Hold Up. Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of On Purpose. On Purpose's mission is to create impactful conversations to help you become happier, healthier, and more healed. This week, I talked to Tiffany Haddish in a hilarious, deep, thoughtful interview where we dive into family trauma, grief, sobriety, love, and dating. You'll be laughing, crying, and have so many impactful takeaways after this interview.
I had this, like, you know, homie lover friend for a long time. He's very disrespectful to me, very kind of messed up to me. But in my mind, we could get married. We had the most beautiful babies. He handsome. I'm pretty. Like, it would be so cool. He's smart and intellectual. I'm kind of smart, I think. Like, it would be fun. We have the best conversations. Like, we have fun, but then he would treat me like crap.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss this one.
Hey fam, I'm Simone Boyce.
I'm Danielle Robay.
And we're the hosts of The Bright Side, a daily podcast from Hello Sunshine that's guaranteed to light up your day.
Every weekday, we bring you conversations with the culture makers who inspire us.
Like a recent episode with Hollywood royalty Regina and Raina King. We talked about the creative power of women's relationships.
I feel like, thank God for women, like, especially when it comes to Black women, the way we lean on our mothers, our grandmothers, our sisters, our friends. We're just each other's pulse. I mean, it's molecular, you know?
Listen to The Bright Side from Hello Sunshine on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Damn, but in that bizarre situation where two cops end up in a road rage incident and Frank Liger ends up killing Kevin Gaines, he says that Kevin Gaines pulled his weapon out, but Kevin Gaines never got to bust. And some people say if Kevin Gaines pulled out his strap, he should have got at least one off.
At least.
He didn't get nothing off. So there's some unanswered questions about that interaction.
We definitely believe that. I mean, this is the officer that bragged about it a few years ago that eventually had got terminated for bragging about shooting this, saying he wished it was more niggas in the car.
Yeah, I heard that audio. He didn't know he was being recorded, by the way.
He didn't know he was being recorded.
And he was being recorded by another officer in the room.
That was his friend.
Yeah.
But this white dude is that comfortable enough to say this.
In a room full of officers.
And some Black officers. At a training session.
Don't you think something shady happened that day between Frank Liger and Kevin Gaines?
No.
Or do you think it's just a typical road rage?
I think they were following him. I think he was following him. And then Kevin realized that this dude followed him, and he confronted him. And he got upset.
If he was a good cop, what'd they follow him for? Nobody knows.
They knew he was riding around in a Porsche. He was dressing and wearing Versace shirts. He had a license plate on his Porsche that said, "Fuck IA."
And he was...
No, not fuck IA. It's okay, IA. Something about... He was disrespecting IA, the Internal Affairs Department.
And he was having an affair with the head of Death Row Records.
Wife.
Yeah.
Wife.
And he was married at the time himself, I believe.
I forget that situation.
Okay.
I'm not sure. I think so, because matter of fact, I think in the settlement, because they end up paying out, the wife got some money, the kids got some money, and they had to do it because they didn't want to bring it before the council. So they paid them each... whatever that maximum was, they paid individuals each.
And also, Kevin Gaines...
No, he wasn't married.
He had a lawsuit against, I believe, the sheriff department or another law enforcement entity where he got a settlement years before.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's
so nice to me. He actually challenged the system often.
Oh, he was probably a rebel or something like that. But I also get information that he was a cop. That, you know, he wasn't for the drama or anything. But I don't know the man. Never met him before in my life. And my point is, and people always say, well, he worked for y'all. He worked for you. Come on. That's why I get mad. And I make the
Never worked for Right Way.
He never worked. How would that make the guy that's having an affair?
But you say you didn't know. So you could have theoretically hired and didn't know.
Okay, well, I didn't know him, and I didn't have him. But that ain't what people believe. People believe that the guy that was having an affair with Sharita Knight worked for Death Row Records and Reggie Hardy.
Well, don't you think all that could have been found out if...
it was investigated.
You know, you're getting a check. If you're getting a check under Death Row, don't you think they can go on that?
It wasn't under Death Row. It was done the Right Way. But trust me, I turned
under
over...
your company.
I turned over all of that paperwork, all that information. Everybody knows that, except who? Conspirators. old white men that like to make DVDs regarding Reggie Wright.
Well, I want to emphasize that Kevin Gaines has never been implicated in any Rampart scandal.
Correct.
He was not a crooked cop that we know of.
They never proved that.
Never proved that he did anything illegal as an LAPD officer. He was a guy that challenged the system and was
connected. And the only thing we know about that is he had a license plate that was disrespecting Internal Affairs.
Yeah, so sometimes I think Kevin Gaines gets a bad rap, but I think his story is interesting. And
now, this is what happened, and this is why a lot of people like to link them to him. The officer that shot and killed Kevin Gaines was Frank Liga. When Rafael Perez and them signed out the dope that they stole,
yeah,
guess who named? put on it.
He put Frank Liga on there.
He put Frank Liga.
Because he was mad because his boy got killed. He was like, I'm about
or
to pin.
A black cop or whatever.
Yeah.
Who knows? I can't say that they were friends because we don't know.
Well, yeah, you're right. But I think there was a person that testified that said that I know that the drugs got taken out because back then they didn't have an accounting system.
It was crazy.
Can you believe that?
Yeah,
they didn't have an accounting system. So Rafael Perez walks in there, takes out, 6 kilos?
Something.
Puts Frank Liga's name as the one that checked it out.
Yeah.
And then the lady says,
and
well.
And then they take it and then they put baking soda or when they bring it back or whatever.
So when they investigate it, they go ask the lady in the evidence room, like, who took out the cocaine? And she says, it was just a black guy that spoke Spanish.
Yeah.
That's all I remember.
And
that wasn't too hard to figure out.
Well, I think he copped out to it.
Yeah.
And that's my point. If he copped out to all of this shit, laid out other cops, laid out other people, why wouldn't he ever cop out? Oh, yeah, I work for Death Row Records. Oh, yeah, I work for that cop that worked at Compton PD. They have never mentioned my name. The only people ever mentioned us together is outside people, people that had nothing to do with LAPD or anything, or one cop, retired cop Russell Poole. And that's why Bernard Parks was like, okay, I allowed you to investigate this. There's nothing to it. Move on. Oh, no, forget that. I quit. All right, bye. But this is where all of this come on the internet from. It's from a situation like this.
Well, let me ask you this. How many of the LAPD officers that were linked to the Rampart scandal ever worked for Right Way / Death Row Records?
Not a one. I only had two LAPD officers that ever worked for me, and they investigated them. They knew who they were. Richard McCauley and a guy by the name of David Love. Only two LAPD cops that ever worked for me.
Now, how often does that come up, though, that these LAPD officers from Rampart and these rogue officers were also linked to you?
For anyone that still believes that Death Row has something to do, or Reggie Wright security has something to do with the murder of Biggie Small or Tupac.
Okay. Well.
But no official law enforcement believe that anymore. They know the real. They have the, like I said earlier, the both cases has been solved in their mind. They just can't prove it.
All right. Let's move on. Someone from Sweden wants to know, where are the no-go, in quotes, no-go zones in Los Angeles County, which would be Long Beach, Compton, Watts, Los Angeles, Inglewood, Gardena. Let's start
Projects.
With you, James. What are some of the most no-go zones that
you don't want to go to? The Projects. You don't want to go downtown L.A.
Downtown?
Downtown
L.A. They gentrified
LA.
Downtown L.A.
They did what?
They gentrified it.
Man, that...
Even with all the homelessness, they got these bars and clubs.
That
and,
place...
So you suggested going to Lemur Park then, huh? You know, Lemur Park wasn't actually not that bad. Well, since you're talking about gentrification, but Lemur Park is not that
bad.
No,
I wouldn't put Lemur Park on my list of places to
not
go.
Yeah, I wouldn't either.
I would say the Jungles, a.k.a. Baldwin
Village.
That's
right down the street from them.
It is. It is right down the street.
That's right down the street.
I would say stay away from...
don't make a right.
stay away from the Jays at night.
Stay away from the Nickersons, the Projects, period.
Stay away from all four of the Projects in Watts at night.
Yeah.
What are the most sensitive areas in Compton? Because on the west side, some of the neighborhoods in Compton are kind of nice.
Being from Sweetie, you're probably on the pale side. So I would say Stay away from the whole city.
The whole city.
Wow.
I'm telling you.
That's, you just,
at night.
You just took a big dump on Compton, man.
You damn sure did.
And Asia Brown is not going to be happy about that.
Asia Brown to get over it. She need to fix the streets. That's what she need to be worrying about.
But it's true that there are worse parts of Compton than other areas.
Where?
I'd say the west side has less violence and homicides and crime than the east side does.
Yeah.
Areas like Lantana Block, where the swamps are, where Trag News at, where Campanella's at.
Being from Sweeting and being pale and not speaking some Spanish and stay your ass straight by the airport and stay on the main roads and keep going.
All right, trust me. James.
And that's at night. You know, they can ride down Alameda and Willowbrook and all that coming from the Compton Courthouse because there's a lot of white folks that work at the Compton Courthouse. But they take their ass straight to the 91 freeway. And that's what's suggested to them. Not to stop
just
at the gas station.
I stay in Hollywood. I mean, somewhere in Beverly Hills or Bel-Air somewhere. I don't like no parts of L.A. You go, name a place in L.A. where
we in L.A.
you
now.
Can go
you don't feel
relax.
Comfortable?
No.
You don't feel comfortable in Wilshire?
I mean, there's some beautiful areas in L.A.
Name one.
I love the West Adams area. I love Midtown.
Because you okay over there. We're talking about Sweden people.
So you
suggest them going to Harold's and Bell's over there, huh?
Oh, absolutely. There's all kind of white folks walking their dogs around there now.
Well, you said that the gentrification is going on over there right
you're
now.
You're going to Leimert Park right now.
I went to... those white folks that's over there, living over there, are different type of white folks. They're different. A person from Sweden, lost, gonna need direction and all of that. Come on, man. They need to stay away from Leimert Park unless they have some escorts to take them to Hurls and Bells. I would suggest they go to Hurls and Bells and have a nice little soul food. Well, it's just fish and stuff now. But go there. But have some escorts with you. Have your Uber driver get out and go in with you.
No, I think the area where Harold and Bells is at is fine. On Jefferson, right off of Crenshaw. You won't have any problem there if you're white, walking around.
Walking around?
Yeah, walking around.
You full of shit.
I see them walk. There's all kind of white folks in that part of L.A. now.
I seen that. They've been doing a lot. They got Whole Foods getting built up there. They got stuff, but...
There's one neighborhood in Inglewood I got to mention, the Bottoms, right off of where the Crenshaw Mafia's are at.
I thought they tore those apartments down.
No, there's off of 99th and Century. That's like the part of Inglewood you don't want to go to.
I thought they tore those projects down at the Bottoms.
But they definitely are gentrifying all of Inglewood, and I would say most of Inglewood is cool.
Well,
stay out of the Bottoms, though, if you're in Inglewood.
Just the casino and the football field. Let's go look at that.
Yeah, the casino, the Century Corridor. They got all Costco and Bed Bath & Beyond and Red Lobster and Chili's. They really revamped that whole area of Inglewood. Inglewood's actually really nice, but I rolled through the Bottoms the other day, and I was like, wow, it's still grimy over here.
Yeah.
It's still grimy. And that's home of the Crenshaw Mafia. Shout out to the Crenshaw Mafias.
The Relatives. That was my act.
The Relatives, Big Y.
Big Y and Sugar Booger.
Yeah.
What that SB stand for? Socking bitches.
And James, you said stay out of the Nickersons. I'm going to add to that Imperial Courts, Hacienda Village, what's the other one?
The Jordan Downs. Pueblos.
The Pueblos. And then if you want to talk about the Latino projects, you want to stay out of Estrada Courts, Ramona Gardens.
But then they ain't going to be able to go to the dispensaries if they don't go over there.
Oh, you can find dispensaries all over now. So, I mean, L.A.'s not that bad. We had one of the lowest homicides counts last year, and it keeps on going down. And even Compton. Compton used to average like 90 to 100 murders a year. Remember those years, Reg?
Very well.
Yeah, and now they're having, what, like 30 or 40 a year?
Oh, hell no.
How many a year now?
I don't know, but it ain't that low.
Oh, it's pretty low.
It ain't that low.
That's a good goddamn thing.
Somebody look that up. How many homicides did Compton have in 2018? I know when it was over 100, that was high for
was high.
A city of that size.
Only reason we wasn't considered the homicide capital of America was because we didn't have 100,000 citizens.
It was just at like 90,000 at the time.
It was always at 90. Yeah. And you got once you had us in this, they only gave cities over 100,000. That's the only ones that the FBI gave reports on. So we always kept the census down.
So you remember the most homicides that Compton had? I think it went up to like 110 or 120 a couple years.
Yeah, that was like I was doing y'all crack era days. in the mid-90s or something.
And the most homicides L.A. had in 1 year was like 1,000, a little over 1,000. Now it's like right under 300. And you know what's weird? A lot of people think that the crack cocaine epidemic contributed to the highest homicide rate in Los Angeles. But let me see if I have here.
No, it mainly had burglaries and stuff like that.
Look, the two highest years for homicides in Los Angeles was actually 1980. And 80 predates crack
That's
cocaine.
That's when the crack came out.
It was starting.
No, it was like 80.
It was starting, but the rock didn't really hit like.
We was rocking cocaine up in 1980, man.
Nah.
No, they were just starting.
You maybe freebasing, not rock.
We in the miners' jar. How you gonna tell me no?
I know what was out there on the streets. I know what was out. I think you got your date wrong.
So y'all what I gotta say? 83, 85, 86, 87?
The y'all was big in it then. But no. Those niggas were smoking on Sherm in the 80s, 79 and 80.
Yeah, they were smoking Sherm.
Yeah.
So all when right. The cocaine hit the neighborhood then?
Reg,
go ahead.
I just had someone look up the number of homicides in Compton 2018.
It was like 82, 83. 21. When they started rocking.
21.
20, wait a minute, what?
21 homicides.
In what?
In Compton 2018. And the population is 97,000 according to that. To that
only data. 21?
21.
That's good.
And it used to be like 100.
And it's probably down countywide then.
Oh, it's absolutely down countywide. Oh, okay. But that just shows the dramatic drop. It used to be around 100.
Yeah.
Now it was 21 last year.
Well, all the killers in jail.
Yeah, but every generation births new killers.
Yeah, but that's true.
So I guess the three-strike law is working, huh?
No, I wouldn't give it to the three strikes. And Los Angeles' peak was 1980 with 1,028. And then in 1992, the year of the riots, 1,092. And now L.A.'s at like 290. So imagine going from over 1,000 murders a year, now we're at 290.
I know. But let's look at our park and rec budgets and how many baseball fields and all of that we have, because we done put all of our resource and our money into law enforcement and then took away from all the park and rec programs.
Yeah, we need more parks and rec programs. We need more baseball programs.
I agree.
I was listening to someone said that Campanella used to have the most incredible baseball program, and everyone from all over Compton used to come there and play baseball.
South Park, Gonzales Park had the best. Jackie Robinson Stadium.
I heard they had a good football program.
I never seen a football program at Jackie Robinson. The football
coach
was at Dominguez. That was Greater Compton.
Okay.
That's where we had football. Greater Compton and then what?
I don't know nothing about that. I didn't play all that stuff.
Yeah, because you were busy worrying about rocking up shit.
You weren't playing any of the sports?
I was busy gangbanging.
Even when you was 8, 9, 10, you wasn't gangbanging.
8, 9, 10, I was tearing up stuff.
I know. You was knocking out school teachers over there.
No, I didn't knock out.
Or slapped or punched.
I bust a nose.
Okay, that's pretty much knocking somebody
out. I kicked out of Compton School District.
Yeah, that's okay.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
Every week, we'll pick a new song from the list and talk about their placement on the revamped 2021 list.
We'll also have guests join us, ranging from the artists themselves to the producers, or simply other writers like ourselves who voted on them.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern-day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside and Britney Spears' Baby One More Time.
There's so many fascinating stories that have been forgotten, like Midnight Train to Georgia, starting with a phone call to Farrah Fawcett, or how the Yeah Yeah Yeahs inspired Kelly Clarkson's banger Since You've Been Gone and Beyoncé's Hold Up. Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey fam, I'm Simone Boyce.
I'm Danielle Robay.
And we're the hosts of The Bright Side, a daily podcast from Hello Sunshine that's guaranteed to light up your day.
Every weekday, we bring you conversations with the culture makers who inspire us.
Like our recent episode with Hollywood royalty Regina and Raina King. We talked about the creative power of women's relationships.
I feel like, thank God for women, like, especially when it comes to Black women. The way we lean on our mothers, our grandmothers, our sisters, our friends, we're just each other's pulse. I mean, It's molecular, you know?
Listen to The Bright Side from Hello Sunshine on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of On Purpose. On Purpose's mission is to create impactful conversations to help you become happier, healthier, and more healed. This week, I talked to Tiffany Haddish in a hilarious, deep, thoughtful interview where we dive into family trauma, grief, sobriety, love, and dating. You'll be laughing, crying, and have so many impactful takeaways after this interview.
I had this, like, you know, homie loving friend for a long time. He's very disrespectful to me, very kind of messed up to me. But in my mind, we could get married. We had the most beautiful babies. He handsome. I'm pretty. Like, it would be so cool. He's smart and intellectual. I'm kind of smart, I think. Like, it would be fun. We have the best conversations. Like, we have fun, but then he would treat me like crap.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss this one.
All right, let's move on to another question here. You know, this is really an interesting question. This is for you, James.
Which one is that?
This comes from Spain. Someone from Spain. This is from Paulo. It's from Paulo from Spain. If I wanted to start a Ma Piru chapter in Madrid, could you travel here and help us establish it?
Well, I was thinking one way when you first mentioned that to me, but then you said they're not on the gangbanging trip like here.
No, they're not.
Have them start a charter. I'm not. I think I'm shying and running away from that because that's not the life I'm trying to live. I'm not trying to portray that part of that side.
Because you're thinking of Ma Piru from the Compton perspective.
Yeah.
You could be the one that changed the direction of the Ma Piru brand.
No, but I can't go out there and then try to tell them something. Like, they want something good. What is it they want? I don't know.
They want an identity. That's all about. That's what it's all about. Whether it's even in Compton, it's all about, I want to belong to something. I want to be a part of something. I want an identity. Whether it's the Boy Scouts or Ma Piru.
Well, why don't you call them and set it up, and we'll have a conversation with them. Maybe we can go out there. You take pictures and do the interview, and we can talk to those guys and try to figure out what this exactly is something they want.
Alex and James are doing.
Reggie Wright's name has no part of this because Reggie Wright don't want to.
Y'all gonna be in some international Interpol prison.
No, this is not about any criminal activity.
No, it's not about,
because not every gang member is pushing. Nipsey Hussle, Rolling 60 Crip, he was pushing rap, T-shirts, Marathon, the Slauson Boys. So this is what we need to do. We need to have gangs in the next
paperwork's
10, 15.
On you, brother. Why are you here? Why are you here? They got paperwork on you.
To a certain extent, you're always going to stick to the G code, but that don't mean that we can't take gangs in another direction.
Exactly.
You know,
Didn't y'all read the New York Times yesterday? What did they just say?
What?
They were about to evict him.
Yeah, they wanted that. They want that strip mall.
They want, because they were tired of raiding that location, the Marathon clothing store, and they told the landlord, either y'all get rid of him, or we're gonna take your property from you.
But that's the police. The police gonna come and take whatever the fuck they want.
Because of all this gang activity that's going on here at the Marathon.
I mean, they use that as an example. They did our motorcycle club like that. You know, got a lot of blacks hanging out and they kicking it. They gay clothes, but they consider you a nuisance. So they go to the city. You know,
this little
cat. Here you go. This little cat doing good.
They had robberies, assaults, all of that going on there.
You might as well shut everything down.
It was
come on,
Reg. Over excessive.
Come on, Reg.
It was excessive of gang activity going on at that strip mall. I'm just responding to the man's thing that Nipsey was an angel.
Ain't no one called
Nipsey an
angel. Ain't
nobody saying he was an angel.
I'm just saying Nipsey was taking his thing to a different level, his thing in another direction.
And that's why I say get at those guys and see what they actually really wanted.
They knew what was going on. They were having
that's not a
robbery
question
victims.
That I can ask.
They were having assault victims, and they were at the point where they were trying to evict the man. And he said, okay, never mind. Let me get some investors. landlord, don't evict me. I want to buy the place from you.
So what's wrong with that?
Nothing, but then they was about to take it from him.
No, I think Nipsey really represents what every gang should have. Every gang needs a Nipsey Hussle. Every gang needs an investor. Every gang needs someone that's on a business level.
And I truly believe that.
Because you're never going to get rid of gangs, Reggie. We've had gangs in America now for 200 years.
But it's all about what you do with it.
Exactly.
And obviously, we thought he was doing one thing with it when it's coming out that he wasn't.
He was tolerating another culture. The problem is he can't control everyone in his circle. And but we can't just blame him for what these other guys do outside the store.
But we're supposed to give him a location to cultivate that?
Hey, it's a starting point.
Okay.
And as he would have evolved, he was only, what, 33 years old?
So, let me ask you this. Where's the starting point at, man? If he didn't start that, where's the starting point?
We're just going about what we've been hearing and stuff like that on YouTube and all of that. I'm just telling you what the report just came out in the New York Times.
And you believe the New York Times?
Yeah. I believe the report. Have you read the New York Times report?
I don't read.
Exactly. That's what I thought.
I don't do that type of stuff. I ain't got time for that.
But
to listen to what they put in there. Okay. Whatever they write down is not believable. Everything is not believable.
Everything ain't a lie either, man.
I read the article.
Ain't.
You read it?
And actually, the guy that wrote the article was on LA Radio today, and he actually said that he had some mixed feelings about Nipsey. He said, yeah, Nipsey was doing some good things, but yeah, they wanted to take this property.
Yeah.
But I don't know if they would have been successful at doing that.
I don't think the abatement, but it was this double standard to me where they were about to meet with him and was promoting real big how they was about to have this big meeting with him while another branch of the department was investigating him and was trying to take his property. I just thought that to be interesting.
But I think we should look at gangs in the future as entities that could expand in entrepreneurial pursuits. Wouldn't it be great to have a group of guys in Madrid, Spain that will help you distribute t-shirts and maybe print them for you or be your European distributor? I mean, there's all kind of things that having satellite identities throughout the world can do that have nothing to do with criminal activity.
Exactly.
If you can get that. If that's what they want.
Yeah, well, that's where you got to start at. You got to start with the young kids, man. If just say, for instance, if you had a whole lot of these guys with the same mentality as Nipsey, and you're going in the neighborhood and you're grabbing the kids, and you're teaching these kids some type of skills, going to places like Spain, Madrid, and teaching them this, then if you're
at that point yourself. But we're not even doing it in our backyard. We're going to go across the...
No, I'm just saying.
Across Spain, I
started here, then I go there. It has to be done somewhere. If it don't, then everybody's still sitting on the same old shit.
But you got to clean up your backyard before you go and try to clean up somebody else's backyard.
Well, I think, Reggie, you have this belief because we're in L.A., Compton, Watts, that gangs are always going to be involved in some conflict and some negative activity, but I went to Houston and interviewed gangs that have LA names, and them dudes ain't even banging. They just chilling. And I get criticized for interviewing these guys. They say those aren't real gangsters. They're not putting in work. And I'm like, why do you have to be putting in work in order to have this identity? These guys in Houston, they love claiming whatever. They want to be let's say Mob Pyrus in Houston. But they're not about banging on each other.
They might not be about banging, but they expecting somebody from the Mob Piru in Compton to be bringing some pills, some weed, some drugs or
Come
something
on,
over
Reggie,
there.
Come on, Reggie, you label everybody as
not at all
criminals. Yep. Now let me tell you about these cats.
That's what it does.
In Detroit,
I'm done. I'm under indictment right now for that. From some Great Street niggas to some Great Street niggas in Memphis. I know what's going on. Y'all can try to play and act like it and put a halo over this shit, but that ain't what it is.
I know what's going on, too. I traveled all these cities.
Okay.
And I interviewed some gang members.
And they going to give you their version of what they're trying to portray at that time. But that ain't what that thing is about. James, no. We got a factor of the area I grew up in. I'm not a member of the Mob Piru in New Jersey.
You got them in New Jersey, Detroit, Kansas City, and the ones I'm talking about in Detroit, ain't on no gangbanging tip. Wait a minute, I'm trying to tell you.
I know
who
some dudes you're talking about from New Jersey. I mean, that's in Detroit.
Name who I'm talking about?
Brian Calvin, BC, and you're talking about Biggie.
No, even know Biggie was in Detroit. Biggie in Detroit?
Well, you want to talk about Brian? You ain't talking about BC?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Well, I mean, but...
No, but I think, Reggie, you're right. There are some of these gangs in other cities in the U.S. that are on that gang-banging tip.
What?
But...
Nah, you just made me mad. Just because every gangbanger ain't no... Wow. A waste of shit.
I ain't never said that. I ain't said they not a waste of shit. I ain't said that, but I'm
you
saying what they about.
That there's no hope for it.
I ain't said that.
I know this. I've been in it. I'm in it. And I didn't say that. There's hope for everybody, man. Everybody got a chance.
Everybody got a hope. It's a hope
there's
for
a way out for everybody.
Everybody got a way out, but I'm saying before we talk about going to Spain and teaching them one way, we got to do it over here in Compton before we can talk about branching out to somewhere
the
else.
The main thing we have to do, man, is get our mind out the gutter and then say we can help each other instead of bashing each other on every topic that comes up about being black. You feel me? We got to stop beating each other down like we not going to get nowhere because we can't get nowhere because it failed for me. Just because it failed for me, I can fix it. Everybody got time and got a chance and a choice. And we don't have to stay stuck on beating each other down and snatching each other when one try to climb. I'm going to kill this nigga because he ain't looking out for me. That's the shit we got to get away from. Right. Well, if we get away from that and start helping each other. No, I'm just saying. Yeah. We got to help each other. Get to the point. That's the topic we're talking about.
No,
taking these kids and putting them to a different
we're
place.
We're talking about somebody that hit you up and saying that they want you to come up there and open up a fashion.
We done went from that after you explained your situation. And then you said.
I'm talking about what the network's doing. What the gang networks are doing.
But that's not the case in all instances throughout the country.
So the guys in Houston, what did they claim?
They got, there's at least 10 LA
what
gangs.
What are they claiming?
One of them is Four Trey Gangsta Crips.
Okay. And what are they doing? Doing bike toy giveaways?
They're rapping. They're going to the clubs. They're hanging out. They're doing regular things that late teens, early 20s guys do.
Okay.
And they're fascinated with LA gang culture.
And they claiming this and have no other connection. The LA dudes, it ain't a dude that came from LA that came out there and set them up. They just
a guy did go out there.
I know.
And created that identity.
I know.
A bunch of these other Houston dudes mm-hmm. followed him.
Correct.
And it exists there.
Correct.
Now, are they gang? And here's an interesting thing.
And they call him Big Homie.
Yeah. But in LA, there are alliances and rivalries. For example, the 60s and the A-Trays don't get along, right? Or Bloods and Crips don't get along. Or specific gangs like, let's say, the Five Deuce Broadways and the Four Trey Gangsters don't get along. When you go to Houston, you see the Five Deuce Broadway and the Four Trey Gangster chilling
because
together.
Because there's one or two guys that went out there that commuted out there, but their brothers ain't been killed like out here
exactly.
in Compton.
They have a
like,
different history.
Exactly. Different, totally history.
Their history
that's
allows
why,
them
why
all
the,
to get along.
The truce and all of that was done quick. It shut down. Stop. Because people start realizing, oh, that's Reggie Wright, the one that has something to do with my brother getting killed. That's James. That I've been talking about. My mama
the 92 truce did not last because all they did is had conversation. And with their conversation, all they did is drink and party. Ain't nobody going to get nothing right if all you're doing is drinking and partying.
But the main reason
and
they
no conversation and no way to fix. But
yeah.
That's and they came right back because of drinking. I did an interview with Chris Blanchard, and I told him it wasn't going to work because all these dudes is partying. They not thinking about trying to fix it.
You had some other guys that was trying to do stuff. You had
just like now.
Yeah, you had some guys that was trying to do something.
You need
they unified CC Rider from that, right?
And what did they get? That didn't
I'm
do nothing.
I'm just saying. My point is, they tried. They
tried
had some. They
CC
wasn't just drinking.
Rider to
they
get,
wasn't drinking when they was at Compton High School and had that big old game.
I didn't
meeting.
Say. I didn't go to the game meeting, so I don't know that.
Well,
I wasn't there.
I was. I got a videotape of it.
What I'm saying is, the time. Okay,
I'm just saying, so I know what was going on. It wasn't no drinking and smoking and stuff that going on.
See, you're not listening to what I'm saying. What I'm saying to you is, while those cats and everybody going to different neighborhoods and hanging out and Bloods over here kicking it with the Crips, everybody were drinking. What comes with drinking? Attitude. Nobody is sitting back with a right state of mind saying, man, we need to fix this and this is how. Nobody had a plan. So without a plan, you can't fix nothing. So if everybody step up, now I ain't talking about out of the 92 rides, they formed CC Riders. Is that an accomplishment? No. You just opened up the doors for all the groups to kick it.
You said this is what happened and this is why it didn't work. And I just do an example of they wasn't just drinking and all of that. They tried it. They just started realizing who whose was, and they got mad at each other, and they started going back at each other. That it didn't work. It didn't last.
Yeah, but it's not always going to work the very first time.
Okay.
It's a great first step, and it actually laid the foundation for all the gang intervention programs and all the OGs now that are working for GRID, Gang Reduction Youth Development Program.
The young gang members don't even respect none of them. They call them snitches.
That's fine.
They call them rats.
That's fine, but they're still in the hood. Them. The OGs are still in the hood.
Yeah, they don't respect them. They tell him, get away from him. He works for the police.
Well, I don't think all of them are getting that backlash. There's a grid representative from at least 15, 20 gangs in L.A. right now.
Collecting a little $1,000 check.
And they're part of softball leagues. It's the movement. It's a movement.
But like I said,
it's the beginning
step.
Of a movement.
It's a step.
And I think 92, yeah. The truce of 92 was a good first step. I mean, we don't expect for how long is it going to take for the Palestinians to start getting along with the Jews over there in the Middle East? How many times has a U.S. president went over there to try to broker peace? Do we give up? Do we just say never go again?
Well, you know, they still killing each other too.
Yeah, but I mean, you still got to continue the peace talks.
Okay,
if that's really what you have in your heart, I don't say give up. I don't say let's just take a dump on what happened in 92. In fact, in 1993, we saw the first drop in gang crimes since 84. So in almost 10 years, reduction.
You had four or five good months of niggas just hanging out and drinking and partying and causing havocs in the area to the liquor stores and all of that was around there.
And a lot of other cities that wanted to do the same thing called up people in Watts, called up L.A. and said, hey, we want to try to emulate what you guys
did.
What,
the truth?
Yeah. Daoud Shirelles and Killer Shirelles.
It was a problem. I was working in law enforcement then. It was a problem with those dudes just hanging out and all of that. They was taking over streets, blocking. People couldn't even go to work. The good people, the working people, couldn't even get them to go to work because those niggas was out, hanging out in the apartments and all of that until 5, 6 in the morning, drinking and all of that, and blocking the people's cars in and all of that, and they couldn't even leave. They couldn't even go anywhere. It was a problem.
And that's something that should be identified and fixed for future discussions. I mean, that's not a major thing.
No, I mean, it was just a problem.
But yeah, we got to figure out, hey, guys, don't fill up, put all your cars over here.
Poor Mexican man is walking down the street on his way to work and getting jumped and beaten half to death.
But I mean, to have bounty hunters, PJ Watts, Grape Streets, Hacienda Village, all together at the table, plus all the other surrounding sets, that was monumental.
That's a good start, but you got to continue doing what you set out to do. You can't stop trying to find peace in a way to connect with the homies, because everybody know you tired and you ain't got no money and you drinking and getting high all day, you're going to resort back to the same
to
shit.
You know. Yeah.
You're going to go right back to the same old shit. So how do we incorporate getting programs and shit to help the youngsters and teach them something other than what they're doing? Now, if I learn a skill, a craft that'll pay me, and I'm only 14 years old and I can make money, I see something different. I see something different. So these older guys, these guys that's making money in their neighborhood should invest in some type of facility to
help. There's no trade centers out there. No trade tech schools and stuff like that out there. There's stuff out there.
They might be in the wrong place though, Reg.
That could be.
Where they can't go over there. And, you know, You got to make something. You got to have something neutral.
But if you take off that and put on a uniform, people probably pretty much won't know where you're from and what you're about.
You know, I don't think it's hard. I swear to God, my grandfather, everybody on 81st on that block knew how to do breaks.
Yeah.
Knew how to do breaks. Drywall. All of that. My uncle's still on his job, the same job my grandfather gave him. 50 years.
Yeah.
50 fucking years. That's
from,
good.
From learning a trade.
Yeah. Working at Tiger, I mean, not Tiger Steel, but Albert and Albert.
But they wanted to do it. And that's 25, 30-year-old young men working at Pep Boys now. But what did they do? They went to the trade schools. They took advantage of the programs that's out there.
Yeah.
And I'm just saying, we give people like a pass for not wanting to go and do the trade centers or the trade schools and stuff like that.
Well, like I said, we're so stuck in, I ain't working for $9.50. A job is a job. Amen. You work your way up. This is what we ain't understanding, because the homies, nigga, you working for $9.95? Man, go get your job, work, learn something, and the next time you see me, I'll have something. We don't want to do that. We're too proud to pick up cans and turn it in. We're too proud to work at Carl's Jr.'s. You ain't gonna see no black man at Carl's Jr.'s. I ain't finna do that. But how do you get what you want if you don't start from the bottom? And this is what we gotta understand. So let's practice and preach that instead of saying, fuck it.
So you down to go to Madrid?
I'm down to go anywhere where I can help. That's my whole thing right now. It's just, man, I'm going to speak my mind, and I'm going to be honest.
All right, I'm going to reach out to Paolo and tell him to fly us out there, because I want to come. I want to go. I'm sure Reggie want to go.
I can't go, and I don't want to go.
Reggie can't go anywhere.
I can't go and don't want to go.
And I think that'll be a good thing, man.
Oh, man,
I think
that'll be a good thing. Go to Madrid and talk to the youngsters over there. And
well, you see, y'all done went from kids to a guy that hit you up on the internet. He never said to come and help kids.
No, that was the initial.
Let me finish it. He says, if we wanted to start a Ma Piru chapter in Madrid, could you travel here to help us establish it?
What is it about kids?
Oh, I'm sure.
Ma Piru chapter.
I'm sure he's a youngster. He's a youngster. What do you think? This guy's 50 years old?
Why can't this be a mob club? Why got to be Ma Piru?
Well, how you know, don't know what I'll have in store for him to use that name.
I know where your
head
is.
So I'm going to go in and just
your thing is
check
now.
This out.
But now I'm tuning you out. Oh, man, nigga, you OG James from Ma Piru. I thought you was coming out here to teach me how to do. You out here coming out here talking about peace and love and all
that. Well, then we'll never see each other no more. Well, I'm on the plane, partner.
All I just said
I'm almost certain that they ain't interested in no sort of criminal organization at all.
Yeah.
I mean, I've met so many of these dudes around the country. Some of them are. Some of them want to slang.
Want to learn. This is somebody I've been hearing about and doing this. I want to know. Come and help us form up.
But think about
it. I'm not here to promote
violence. Well, you tell them that.
But think about it. The people who are on that level, Reg.
Then they may strip you down, rob you.
The traffickers, the ones that want to slang, those people are on that level.
They already know how.
You think they're going to send me a DM saying establish us?
Well, niggas from New Jersey do. Huh? You just talked about some niggas from Houston. They do. They right here. They only thousand of them.
The majority of the guys that starts new chapters is the guys that move.
Every dude that's out of town is a dude that came from L.A.
Yeah.
Man, we did it from San Bernardino.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
All right, Joe. Well, I don't think all these guys and all these networks are involved in nefarious activities. I think some of them just are they're infatuated and obsessed with Los Angeles.
Exactly.
And the mentality of the dudes that they've heard about.
If they've been listening to James.
Well, that's now.
If they've been listening to James, as Paolo has been doing, he understands what his mentality is.
All right, well, hopefully that's what it is.
Because this guy is obviously a fan.
And like James said, call him, find out. And so we may even be jumping the gun. All James actually do is call and find out. So
because
and if he's telling, no, I want to be, a fashion of the Ma Pa Rule and this, then y'all know it's not from that.
To they that, Reggie. Like,
but why reach out to James for something like that?
Because he's been listening to the Gangsta Chronicles, okay. And it's his favorite podcast.
Yeah, okay.
Go ahead, James.
What other Ma Pa Rule is he going to ask that of?
Exactly. That's my point.
He don't know number one.
He making my point.
He listened to him on the podcast. My point.
And why I want to be like him. That's how I want to be like.
And that's my whole thing. And that's what I'm not promoting. Yeah,
but I know you haven't. You tell niggas don't call me Mob James no more.
Yeah,
call me James. I know that. I'm just saying what his intent. Your intent and his intent are two different things.
No, it's not.
I don't think this guy's intent.
We don't know.
If he's DMing me the way he is from Madrid, a city that has a very low crime rate, very low gang presence.
So he wants James to come over there to do what? What do you think he wants him to come over there to do?
Official toy drives? See, here's the thing. A lot of guys throughout the world
will
copy L.A. culture, but they're not connected to no one from those neighborhoods. So now, to be officialized or to be legitimate, you have to be connected to someone that's from that community. So he wants to be able to say, I'm a Ma Pa Rule. I'm a real Ma Pa Rule because James McDonald came here.
I agree. Well, I believe that's why.
I mean, he don't really need James. They can just create Ma Pa Rule out there and do it if they want.
It's basically the same way as when I was in the motorcycle club, how we gather chapters. Mm-hmm. You know, people call us and hit us on Facebook or internet or whatever, or go through the Chosen Few website. And what they do is ask, can they be members of Chosen Few? We done had some cats that are Chosen Few, but they wear different patches that came to us and converted to our patch. You know what I'm saying? Put on the red patch opposed to the white and blue. So what they saying is the same thing. We Chosen Few got over 50 chapters now that I just found out. So you got a lot of people all over this place the farthest I think is the Philippines. And you got people all over these places want to be a part of what they done served on the internet and say, damn, they've been here 60 years. And they take blacks, white, Mexicans, and everybody. And they still going. And there you have.
It's the same thing, actually. It's the same concept.
It's the same thing.
It is the exact same concept.
They want to be a part of
my
us.
Ma Pa Rule.
And now in Madrid, you'll be mad as a mug, huh?
And now y'all comparing Ma Pa Rule to Chosen Few.
I'm not comparing.
Club.
Reggie, you act like you don't be understanding shit.
Well, how many people?
I'm saying it's the same concept.
I'm listening to what
I be responding to. Okay. I'm responding to what Alex just said.
What did he say?
He said the same concept.
It's the same concept.
It is.
And how many people call Chosen Few a gang? How many call Chosen Few a criminal organization?
They call them a club, but they also have outlaws put on their patch as well. Do you know what an outlaw is?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But not all Chosen Few is out there involved in...
And that's my point. But Ma Pa Rule?
Not all Ma Pa Rules is... I'm looking at one right now.
I was a Chosen
no
Few.
He don't claim Ma Pa Rule no more.
Yeah, but...
Because he disowned that because he don't want to be associated to what the Ma Pa Rule still stands for.
But he still...
He disowned it.
In my view, he still
they
has...
Mad at him. Look. They mad at him because he says, I'm not a part of that no more. I'm not about that no more.
He's not about the BS that...
He won't even refer to himself as Ma James.
I know.
I'm like this. I cannot contradict myself saying that I'm done with a situation, and I'm not. Like, some of these guys say they're not affiliated no more, but you still see them doing this and all of that other shit. I'm not going to do that. I'm solely trying to get rid of the name Mom James. It's so crazy.
That's a tough one, man.
I can't, because everybody come. And I've been dealing with this for the longest, in the supermarket, now. Mom, that's Mom Jane. at the beach, at the swap meet. I mean, I've been dealing with that, and I got to get away from it. But I refuse to sit here and promote the Mob Power Route, Mob, anything else that's not associated with me. So nobody has to worry about this guy right here in the neighborhood hanging and doing this. If I do a pop-up, I do a pop-up and I bounce. You know what I'm saying? Ain't no hanging and kicking and drinking and doing all that. I'm past that. I'm past that. I'm on something different. But if I can bring something different to Madrid, to the Philippines, to cats and watts, and they want to sit down and listen to what I got to say and how it should be, man, let's roll. Let's do it.
I'm all for it.
That's what I'm talking about.
Because I look at Mob.
If that's what they want.
If that's what they want.
Yeah.
Mob Piru is a gang.
No.
But also, Mob Piru is a community.
Plus, I need to be back.
You know, yeah, I make a distinction between every hood is a gang and a community. There's the guys that grew up there. Hey, we just rolled through there the other day.
Yeah.
We rolled through the Mob Piru community.
He hung out with CJ and Walt.
And they all still, what's up, love?
But I don't think they're putting in no work. They ain't doing no shootings.
But they might not be getting in no cars or nothing, but they ain't disassociated from the hood.
But that's what I'm saying.
They haven't.
Because they're not trying to.
What's his thing? But these people are reaching out to him because I don't think they understand that he has disassociated.
Well, we're going to find out. Yeah. I'm going to do some more research on Mr. Paolo from Spain. But that concludes another episode of the Gangster Chronicles. I want to thank everyone for listening. And again, if you're listening on iTunes, please leave us a rating and a review so that we can continue bringing you this amazing content. Don't forget to check me out also on Street TV, a.k.a. Street Gangs. Don't forget to check out Reggie Wright on Bomb First. That's every Tuesday night.
And don't forget to go and check out James in Australia.
Well, on that note, I just want to thank everyone for listening to another episode of the Gangster Chronicles. And we are out.
This has been a Digital Soapbox Network production.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside.
Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right. That's right.